Yes, very good morning to you. And you just joined the Eagle. If you just tuned in, to Eagle FM, the I. So very good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia. And good morning, my dear listeners. How are you at this very morning? It's a Wednesday morning. We are right in the middle of the week. It's the 21st of the month of January. We're talking about the year 2026 already. If you haven't woke up yet, please make sure that you get up. It's time to get to work. If you are working, or start just working. You know, it's not a time to be lazy around this year. You know, we need to change. Things have to be not business as usual. You know, maybe we all have to adopt that kind of slogan, not business as usual. Yeah, maybe that would make a difference in many of us. So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And thank you David for handing over the mic to Ondangwa studio. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the headlines, the trends, and the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, and always curious, asking the question that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines with me and with Eagle FM and get to the heart of the stories. Good morning. If you're just joining us, you're just right at the time. You just come on board on the right time. So as usual, we start with our first segment on this episode of Unpacking the Day. We look at On This Day in Africa. So welcome to On This Day in Africa. And today we are journeying back through the time to revisit three powerful moments that shape our continent on the 21st of January. So let's start our journey in the year 1962. On this day, a young Nelson Mandela arrived in Dar es Salaam. Now, back then, the city was the capital of Tanganyika, the nation we now know as Tanzania. So this wasn't an... This was not an official state visit, so it was a secret, you know, a dangerous mission, Mission Impossible. So Mandela was there to rally international support for the armed struggle against the brutal system of apartheid back home in South Africa. So it was a pivotal moment in the long walk to freedom. So, and sadly, our history is also marked by a moment of great tragedy. Fast forward to this day in 1987, in the town of Pamakuta in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, a horrific attack took place. Armed men stormed the home of a local activist from the United Democratic Front, or the UDF, which was a key organization fighting against apartheid. So this brutal act of violence claimed the lives of at least 12 people. It was a dark day that serves as a painful reminder of the fear and conflict that so many, you know, endured during the struggle. So now let us turn the clock back even further to 1893. Now, this is a story about how the map of Africa was drawn. often not by our own people, not by but its own people. So on this day, a piece of land called the Tati Concessions Land, which was part of the Matabele land region, was formally annexed or officially handed over to the Bakwana Land Protectorate. Well, if those names sounds unfamiliar, that's okay. Bakwana Land is the name, is the country we love, proudly called Botswana today. So this was one of many moves by colonial power that redrew the lines on a map, shaping the borders and the future of Southern Africa for generations to come. So, and that is your journey through history for today on this day in Africa. So, join me again tomorrow on this segment for another segment of On This Day in Africa. So, good morning and welcome. And if you're just joining us, you're not late. But get on board. So you most welcome. So thanks for joining us at this point in time. And for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So our thought for the day today is a rolling lion does not catch any prey. You know, a rolling lion does not catch any prey. The proverb means that talk and noise alone don't achieve result. Okay? Not just wah-wah-wah-wah. Talks and noise alone does not achieve result. Action does. So in other words, boasting, loud words, or making show of strength, you know, won't bring you success unless you back them up. So unless you back them up with deliberate effort and purposeful action. So the proverb encourages people to prepare, act quietly, you know, don't be loud about what you're doing, and work towards their goals so that they should be prepared, act quietly, and work towards their goals rather than actually seeking attention or making empty declarations. That's our thought for the day. So whatever decision and choices you make today, make sure that they are not empty declaration. You're not loud. You're not boasting and making show of strength. So that's our thought for the day today. So act quietly as long as you're working towards your goal. So a rolling lion does not catch any prey. So that's our thought for the day this morning. So welcome. Our time is about 11 minutes past the hour of 8. So we get the show packed up this morning. What do you expect to have? What are you looking forward to? So we will have an interview probably in few minutes. So we're going to look at why former Namibian refugees, well, still saying that their story is not yet done. So, and we will have one of the spokesperson of the group, on the show this morning. So we will reach out to her in a few minutes and talk to her. So make sure that you stay tuned for that very interesting discussion coming up in a short term. So, but we also going to talk about it's also an article in today's edition of the Villager. Sambwasa demanding a strict accountability from the local officials. So, and we're going to look at that story, highlight some of the aspect that he's pointing out to our new local officials. And then in the Villager, there is a section normally now, industrial brief, you know, that keeping coming, you know, it was in last week. But it's I think it becoming regular. So we're going to have a quick digest on the industrial brief that is in the in the village. So yeah, don't miss that. It's going to be very interesting. So as you can see, it's fully packed. All what you need to do, sit down, relax, get a cup of tea, get a cup of coffee, get a cup of chocolate, hot chocolate, anything that's a little bit hot this morning, or even cold, get a cup of juice, get a glass of juice, as long as it's not something poisonous, toxic, you know. So, and unpack this with me. So we're going to be back. I'm going to be back in a few minutes, in a few seconds. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into them.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know. You love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Okay, very good morning to you. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day, the program where we give voices to the stories shaping our nation. Yeah, today we are turning our attention to a chapter of our history that remained painfully open for many. We are talking about the promises made to former Namibian refugees, liberation struggle veterans who returned home expecting rehabilitation and resettlement, only to feel abandoned. So the United Nations say the book are closed and the funds accounted for, but the people on the ground say otherwise. So joining me to unpack this complex issue is the spokesperson, one of the spokesperson for the group, Meme Aina Kalimba Angula. So, Meaina, thank you for being here with me. Good morning.
Good morning, Ajaveli.
All right, welcome. So, at the very beginning, could you start maybe telling us a little about the group you represent and what exactly are the demand from the, what are you demanding from the authority right now? So, a little bit about the group and the demand that you are demanding from the authority right now. Mm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
To start with, this group is the people who are former refugees repatriated to Namibia 1989 under United Nations High Commission for Refugees.
Mm-hmm.
The package was the triple R, which is repatriation, rehabilitation, and resettlement.
Yeah.
Which was supposed to be given to or used for the refugee.
Yeah.
In 89, the 1R, which is repatriation, was completed. The refugee were brought to their country of origin.
Mm.
That one, we acknowledge the 7.
Yeah.
Then remain the 2R, which is rehabilitation and resettlement.
Mm-hmm.
where we the refugee feel, not only feel, but we say we could not acknowledge that one.
Yeah.
Because most, if not all refugees,
yeah,
we are not rehabilitated, and nothing provided to them for resettlement. Therefore, the group have the concern.
Yeah.
During the time, the refugee signed two documents.
Yeah.
Which is repatriation form.
Yeah.
The copy was issued to each and every refugee. Another copy to SWAPO, and one SWAPO as an organization. One remaining with the United Nations.
Mm.
Then the other agreement which the refugees signed, none of the refugee provided with a copy.
Yeah.
And we have a concern because we read what was in that copy. And they didn't ask for beneficiaries. But if you cannot take it to Nigeria, who will be your beneficiary?
Yeah.
Now, since we came in Namibia, we did nothing up to date.
Yeah.
Then our demand says is for the organization SWAPO Party and United Nations,
yeah,
it will provide us with the ad hoc program report and to be given what is, or they can calculate what has to be benefited after if a person has not made.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a letter, the refugees started long back.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask quickly. When we are talking about Namibian refugees now, who exactly, just for clarity's sake, for people sometimes who have no idea what we're talking about, who exactly are we talking about, and what is their history? What is your history in terms of this? Yeah.
When we are talking about the Namibia refugee, these are the people who fled the country during the war.
Yeah.
To go to search for the solution at the neighboring country, who went especially to the country like they crossed the border of Angola, Botswana, Zambia.
Yeah.
And they joined the organization which is SWAPO, South West Africa, which was there to make sure and to fight and to for the liberation struggle of this country. I think they are the originated to for the independence which we get today, which we are enjoying today.
Yeah.
They went in exile. Most of the people that stay in refugee camps, most of them call them refugees.
Yeah. How do you distinguish now the refugees from today's now today from the veterans, for example? If these people were fighting during the struggle, haven't they been benefiting from the programs for veterans and things like that?
These people are benefiting when we say veterans. Here we are talking about refugees.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference between a refugee and the veteran.
Okay.
Or like together. Let's explain. When we say refugee, those are fled the country and spend years outside the country, the country of their origin, returned back to Namibia after the restoration 435, so that they can come to Namibia.
Yeah.
Then we can get held the election.
Can we say that everybody who was in exile is a refugee, or there are people who don't have refugee status even if they were outside?
No, I think they are refugee. I think everyone who was outside is a refugee.
Okay.
And the veteran is the commander of the people who were in exile and those who were fighting or rendering the help or trying to help for the independence of Namibia. Then they also recognize as veteran. Veteran is about those who fight for the independence inside the country and outside.
Mm-hmm.
Then they recognize as veteran.
Okay, yeah. So now, from back in 1989, can you walk us through the key promises? Now we're talking about repatriation, resettlement, and rehabilitations. Were there key promises the UN made back in 1989 that you maybe can remember?
What I can remember, and it's written, is this triple R, where I said the repatriation was completed.
Yeah.
And now, remain with the rehabilitation and resettlement.
Yeah.
That is a piece from the United Nations. And that's why we stand for the other agreement.
What are the main, in this now, resettlement and rehabilitation, what are the key promises that were made in those components?
The promises is that when a person spends many years away from home, and especially it was the war between the Namibians, and if you can, I recall there was a war also in Angola.
Yeah.
Who did not live the same way like a person living home. They could not do anything for themselves, like thinking of like deciding that I must go to school, I'm going to look for a job, I'm going to do what. They were just living in another life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their mind could not be the same like a person who has been at home planning your things and whatever.
Yeah. Mm.
So have to be cancelled.
Yeah.
By the people who do to cancel the person so that you can accept the situation, to change the situation to another one.
Mm.
If you can accept the situation, it's no more the same, it will be now starting life like this and this.
Yeah.
And let's come to the settlement. A person coming from exile have nothing.
Mm.
It is not to plan for his life at the tender age up to where because some people, they come at the elderly age.
Yeah.
Then you have nothing. You come in now to the country when people, they establish themselves.
Yeah.
They, everything, like they have houses, they have bank accounts, they can spend, they can buy food and clothes for them.
Mm.
Now you are into the question, you have nothing. Then they should be a package. They should make sure that you have a house, you have where you put your head on, you have a house, you have process, you can be able to buy food like any other person in Namibia.
Mm.
So refugee, nothing was done for refugee. Refugee, they come in Namibia and they were just done.
Mm-hmm.
They found their family, some they did not find their family. And even though if you find their family at that age, family are busy with their own life, their own children. And our parents, they were old enough, they cannot do anything to help us.
Mm.
So that we call resettlement. You have to make sure that you leave the person a peaceful life, easy, you can associate with others, you can do whatever any other person can do.
Yeah. So now, the group feels that because the resettlement and rehabilitation wasn't done properly, so the group feel that they feel disadvantaged economically and socially. So the UN says that their role was limited to repatriation assistance. So do you agree with that, or do you believe they had more the other more responsibility?
I'm totally not to agree with that, because I don't believe that is the legitimate UN who said that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a made-up story, because why they give us that triple R? Triple R not just a word. It's written to all their documents that they should do repatriation, rehabilitation, and resettlement.
Yeah.
And according to the UN representative, when he explained, if you analyze what he's talking about that he did all what he should do for refugees.
Yeah.
As we ask the question whether the repatriation of the Namibia refugee are differ from any other refugee in the world, the UN say no, it's not differ.
Mm.
They did their part, then they could only do it that time. They could not follow it when the people were already home. It means that they did their part, they did everything to the organization, management, which they were dealing with.
Yeah.
So, then now the management to see that the rest is done to their people.
Hmm. So we're going to have a quick commercial break for a few seconds, and then we'll be back. Just stay. So hold on. Just hold on. Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
Omo tiha wote kiro kaguna ii matima omjo. Chika o shafata na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshi wana.
Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandito ma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifaregi uimopo.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. All right, Memaina, now, are you still there?
Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Now, this rehabilitation and resettlement support, do you believe this is more of a UN responsibility or Namibian government responsibility now?
This is the UN responsibility. As when Patrick said, we have that level. I wish to improve rehabilitation and resettlement.
Yeah.
And which we believe the management of SWAPO sees that budget. We believe.
Mm.
Because it was part of the package.
So,
when,
okay, go on. Yeah.
If at all, there were a mutual agreement between the management and the United Nations, like for the United Nations or the management feel that this could not be done during the process of repatriation.
Yeah.
If there is a mutual agreement that the management should receive that funds from them, so that they can come and do it during when they get independence, now it's up to the management to give this clear clarity.
Mm.
And to tell us that it was done to government, but if it was now transferred to government to be the government responsibility, then the government should do their part now to rehabilitate us and resettle us.
Yeah.
Because we resettled later by the UN, it was their responsibility to make sure, even if it was the responsibility of the government, the United Nations should have made sure and have a report that it was done, it was completed.
Mm.
Now, we get a matter which is no transparency, no accountability.
Yeah.
And the UN says all money was counted for. Where do you think things went wrong?
Yes. The UN said it was counted for because maybe there is agreement or there were mistakes, getting misinformation.
Yeah.
Then which we believe that if the UN says so, why can't the carry an audit?
Mm-hmm.
There should be an audit and there should be a report to ensure that we receive it. There must be an audit. Someone must come to the refugee and come with the evidence. No, it was completed because you people signed here. We could not sign anything because we did not receive anything like rehabilitation and repatriation. If it was concluded, then it's some people, not for all the refugees. That's why the concerned refugee is here today requesting for that to be fulfilled for them.
Hmm. Now, there has been a lot of back and forth about whether money was given to SWAPO. So what is your position on that?
My position is definitely the money was given to SWAPO.
Hmm.
Because UN was supposed to do it when we are on arrival, when we are just coming.
Yeah.
The process should be a continuous process. You repatriate the people, you bring them to their country of origin. Before they depart, they could have all this package.
Mm.
And after, now, let me say, if there was a mutual agreement, then the UN could have been followed it up to see that the people see what was due to them.
Mm-hmm.
Which UN did not do. If he did it, he only did it with the management, member of the management, not all the refugees.
Yeah.
That's why this was that the refugees are suffering today.
So what do you think happened? What do you think happened to the funds that were supposed now to help with rehabilitation and resettlement? Any idea what happened to that fund?
To say it's like this fund was given to the management.
Yeah.
Then the management utilized it for personal gain, for self-enrichment. They did not consider others.
Yeah. So any have you seen, not particularly you, but as a group, have you seen any document or evidence that might explain where the funds went?
There is a report. I know the government has a report.
Mm.
The government should have a report. I think myself, I came across it.
Yeah.
What is important to the United Nations, what they have done with the money. There is a report, but that report is not reflecting the fact and the truth of the process or how they manage the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. If anyone wants to know that information, they should just ask a government report. The progress report, how they utilize this money.
Yeah, but in the meeting that you had the meeting where the UN was there and the SWAPO went to prove now how the money has been used, wouldn't they would have produced that kind of report and documents?
We, the refugees, several times, many times, we try to ask them to give us something in return which can prove how the money was utilized.
Yeah.
But these people, they could not provide us with any. They are stealing the information. They are hiding the information. They try to hide everything.
Yeah.
We weren't given anything which we can even think, this is now the information we get from our people. And now we have also a problem with this, not really a problem, although this United Nations High Commission for Refugees, representative in Namibia, is telling us that the everything was done or what, the process was carried and completed.
Yeah.
he cannot provide us with any document we are asking. Now, he refer us to the website, whereby the website is not opening for each and everybody.
Yeah.
Please, how can we, if the documents are on a website, I think the office is also in position to that document. They can make copy and provide to the people. And they know that these are the poor people. They don't have money to pay for some services or whatever.
Do you feel that the government has been responsive enough to your group's concern over the years? Because I believe these are SWAPO refugees. Okay, so, and shouldn't be also as an organization leading this to make sure that, you know, these refugees are really taken care of?
Start with not allowing the government. Let's come back home to the party, which is SWAPO party today, which was SWAPO of Namibia.
Yeah.
I think it was the first responsibility to ensure that the people who drive the independence of this country was taken care of.
Yeah.
I believe, and I'm sure, and I know, we are living, the government is an SWAPO government since independence up to now.
Yeah.
The people, the management of SWAPO, they are the people leading the government. The government is not only responsible for refugees. We know the government has many responsibilities.
Yeah.
We are thank the government, but not that only the government decision, the refugees post those years back. They try to tell the SWAPO people do something. Then government decides to come up with the Ministry of Veteran Affairs or the Department of Veteran Affairs so that they can be assistance. We're thankful for that. We thank for the government to do what they are doing today. But even though our concern there, when it comes to veterans, the people went on exile and they returned in 1989, which we call the refugees. Then the grant. If you talk of grants, the grant should not be in categories. They categorize the people from on top there and they put the refugee down. Imagine this world of today with this economy, sub-economy. A refugee is getting 2,200 to live on for a month. Will that be enough for a person with a family? Talk of the food alone. Yes, we appreciate, but yet we have our own children, the children of the liberation struggle, which are not counted in the veteran affairs. They are not there. And those children, if you count the year of independence, is 36 now. Those children, they are no more children.
Yeah.
They are 15 people. They are now at the age of 40 up. But imagine, if you see you around Venduk, the people roaming about Venduk, the children, those are the children of struggle. And most of them, their fathers and mothers are no more. When they fall in those jungles of the neighboring country like Zambia and Angola, now who is to take care of those children? Who is going to look after those children? They are not Namibians. They were brought in with the process, but the process just dumps them like that.
From a human level, this has been it has taken some years. What is been so hard? What is what been the hardest? Let me ask this: what is been the hardest part about keeping the fight alive after so many years?
Come again.
What is the hardest part? You know, I'm looking at a human aspect now. What has been hardest part about keeping now this fight? Because this has taken quite a long time. So how are members of your group coping economically, socially, and emotionally?
Well, the group, when these refugees, they are not cutting at all. They are living in hardship.
Yeah.
Some people are even mentally disturbed. Some people, you can find a person who is just a drunkard, you do nothing else, because you were not expecting to fall in this situation.
Yeah.
They are really affected emotionally, physically, mentally, economically. Truly speaking, these people are suffering.
Yeah. So why do you think this issue has persisted for so many years without a resolution? Because this has been, you know, it's for quite a long time now. So why do you think it persisted for so long without a resolution?
The solution was supposed to be come from the party, Swapo Party. Swapo Party was supposed to take care of their people to ensure that they have been taken care of.
Yeah.
That is ignorant of the management. They don't respect the other people. They respect themselves, but not other refugees like them. They are also refugees.
Mm.
But for them, they enrich themselves. They are living happily. They have everything, but they sideline the other people,
yeah.
The other refugees. And the people, we try to talk to them, but the way even they respond to us, there's no respect. You can see they don't even want to see us.
Mm.
Maybe they could just jump us somewhere and I don't know.
So what do you think? What do you want the Namibian government and maybe the UN also to take in addressing this this situation? What is that they need to take now? What do you want the Namibian government and the UN to take in addressing now this situation?
Let's start to the UN.
Yeah.
Because it was their responsibility to see to it that every refugee received that package. And when they brought the people back in the country, they could have not just dumped the people and leave, and they don't come back to see the condition where the people are living. If they complete the chapter, we ask them at least to come back and do a bit of investigation.
Yeah.
To see that the people receive the package. To see to it that the people do live in a conducive standard.
Yeah.
Acceptable. See the situation of the refugees today.
Mm.
To demand the report from SWAPO and the government, and to make it transparent to the refugees, so that the refugees, they can identify themselves who received the package and who did not receive.
Mm.
And now it's for the United Nations to go back where they give the funds and instruct those people to give the money or whatever assistance where it's supposed to be given.
Yeah.
That is of the United Nations.
Yeah, and from the government or from SWAPO? Mm.
Yeah, SWAPO is the party, and that party is also the government.
Mm.
To the party should do, or should they address this matter?
Yeah.
In the acceptable manner. It's where refugees are. Elderly people, they are no more babies. The way they talk to them, they should come to the people and tell the refugee what is to the 2R, which is rehabilitation and resettlement, how they utilize that fund. And to make sure the party should make sure that these people, they receive what was due to them.
Yeah.
Then we come to the government. The government will thank them because they created the Department of Veteran Affairs. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Even though they of Veteran Affairs, the veteran are still suffering under that department. The veteran who never worked even in the government when they know the veterans are sick, some they have suffered the war. Some they are disabled even because of the war, but yet no medical aid. They talk about medical assistance, but they don't assist all veterans either. Let's come to the grant. That grant is a divided category whereby all the veterans, or not veterans, we talk now with this refugee in the veteran baby.
Yeah.
When they were in exile, they were all found to do the task. They were doing same way to carry that task so that it was the independence of Namibia. This grant should be equal, not categorized. Some get 80,000, some get 2,000. That is unacceptable. They should be treated equal. Then they have to give the people market-related package.
Yeah.
You don't have to give a person 2,200 whereby even yourself you cannot live on that. Even your petrol money you are driving from here to Ovamboland is not, it's more than 2,000. Mm. How do you expect the people to live? People with families. I think we are looking up to our government through the Ministry of Veteran Affairs to look that package, the grant of veterans.
Yeah.
To call the grant of veterans, especially refugees.
Yeah. So there are those who think that your demand are unrealistic. So how do you respond to claims that your demands are unrealistic?
Yes. If a person satisfies, because maybe some refugees, they got their package. Those who got their package, they can say our demand is unrealistic because they don't feel the pain. And they can see the suffering the people are suffering. Some people, they are just living luxury, living in town, living in a luxury house, and they get everything.
Yeah.
Then they cannot care about others. We have such type of people. When you are okay, you don't care about the other people. But in reality, we just find that our people, the refugees of Namibia, they are suffering. They are really suffering. Something should be done. But when we believe that, if they could have given their package of rehabilitation and resettlement, they could have been living better, maybe.
Yeah.
But on the absence of that, they are suffering today.
Are there any upcoming actions or plans that your group is organizing to continue advocating for these demands?
At the moment, we have to still talk to them, to the management and to the government.
Yeah.
You know, you have to only when things go out of hand, then you take the other action. I know there used to be this here and there, but you have to give time for action. Yes, if time allows and if nothing is done, we can go further.
Okay.
But if the United Nations here, we could not get an answer from here, and if the United Nations, they are not sending the people, maybe we plan to go and meet them to search for their explanation and their whatever, and to lay or complain that what about us who did not receive this package?
Yeah.
How do you expect us to live?
So
we have to have a way so that the United Nations High Commission, the SG Secretary General can give us acceptable and answer.
Yeah. And lastly, Meme Aina, what kind of response or a resolution would bring a sense of closure to this issue for your group?
Let's talk of with our party, which is what. they should get a mutual and conducive communication with the refugees.
Yeah.
The United Nations also to intervene. And we should have enough time to listen to each other to discuss this matter and come to conclusion. Not like what we used to have to be called and only expect to be addressed by one party.
Yeah.
But like only to be addressed by the management of SWAPO, and they tell us all type of words which a human being cannot even listen to. We expect them to come back. And what I know, problems are not solved in public. You have to get to a way whereby you have some members who are strong enough to discuss with them. When you conclude or you give time to go back to their people and listen what is their understanding, whether the people accept or not, then you come and discuss. This don't have to be a thing of one day. It has to take time discussing that and get a solution, a proper solution which one can understand it. We know, like for the government, we know it's not only messaging, the government is caring for many people.
Yeah.
But SWAPO Party, most of the members are refugees. SWAPO Party must have the strategy how to handle their people. The SWAPO Party must not see that these people are still, these people are not people who can sing. These people, they can sing and they are elders. They can see what is good and what is bad.
Yeah. Any last word that you would like our listeners maybe to understand or communicating to the SWAPO Party and the UN and the UN itself? Yeah.
What I am communicating to the SWAPO Party. SWAPO Party must get leaders who are human with humanity, who can address the people at the respectful manner.
Yeah.
They should not get dictatorship. That cannot work. Everyone is a human being, everyone has feelings, and everyone has decisions. Therefore, to look for a positive and acceptable relation between the party and its members, especially the refugees, they must get leaders, not boss.
All right.
Should also prepare maybe to come up with a solution whereby they come to see whether these people were given what to do. And get transparency document which can tell the world that no, you were given a package that tried by the refugees.
Yeah. So, Meaina, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this important perspective with our listeners. So it's clear this is it's an ongoing struggle, and we wish you and your group all the best in your effort to find resolutions. Hopefully, the conversation around this issue can lead to some kind of real change. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Blessed day too.
All right. That's
good.
Yeah, well, that was Meme Aina. We are looking at what has been happening recently. Meme Aina is one of the spokesperson for the group. The former Namibian refugees. So, yeah. So you are, if you have been listening to her interview, if you are listening to our interview, so what, do come through. Do come through and have your reaction. What do you think? So 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So get through and have your reaction or your your contribution to the topic.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
So a very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, actually you're not late. You're just coming at the right time. Yeah, so we have been in an interview. We have been in a conversation with Meme Aina Kalimba Angula. It's one of those former one of the spokesperson of the former Namibian refugee who have been camping at SWAPO headquarters for a number of months and years, demanding that the full, you know, package process of the UN be done, you know, repatriation, resettlement and resettlement and rehabilitation, expecting rehabilitation and resettlement. So, and those are process, and they feel that it was only repatriation that was done, but the other component was not actually done at all. And one can understand, I think that there has been really a very, one of the point that she have made is that, you know, these are people who have been refugees in and outside the country, who have been exposed to harsh condition of war, and being in a refugee camp, or any, many things could have happened to people. It's not easy places. Those are not, you know, it's not easy places to live in, not easy condition to live in. It's not like you're living at home with parents or with your family being protected and all that. So many things happened to these people, and coming back, there hasn't been, as according to her, there hasn't been a process. There has been a process where these people are going, where the refugees have gone through the counseling process. That maybe if it happened, it happened to some. So where now some have come back and they have no family, you know, when they come back, they have no family. Maybe family have gone to, have also gone on in exile, and some of their parents or whatever have died. And when they come back, there's nobody. So there were no proper, according to her, there were no proper rehabilitation. And that has contributed, to where they are, at this point in time. Yeah. So where they are at this point in time, and they want that, you know, to be, that's their demand. And it's really reasonable. It's just that it has taken for too long. And she said, you know, the party and the UN have a responsibility, to provide also documentations and evidence, how the resources that was available, that was given, how that has been used. So what is your take? What is your take? Our telephone number, 08-08-3366-091. It must be working this morning. Don't feel discouraged from yesterday. So the line is open. Do come through. Our telephone number 08333 66 091. So what is your take? What is your reaction? What is your contribution?
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha gutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafata na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heka tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
So welcome back. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is happening around the country in terms of business news, economic news, finance news, political news, you know. So, and today we turned our attention to a chapter of our history that actually remained painfully open for many. And we are talking about promises. Those were made, promises were made to former Namibian refugees which hasn't been fulfilled. So unfulfilled promises of rehabilitation and resettlement. So, all right. So what is your take? What is your take on this story? It has been also, around, it has been in a couple of the news, recently. So what is your take? These are national, conversations and we should be able to, you know, to contribute and also air our feeling. How do you feel about that? There are those who say, well, this demand is unrealistic. So what do you think from those who actually think that this demand is unrealistic? So how is actually this handled? How do you look at it? How this has been handled? It has been years. If there were, packages that were given or should be given, how do you think this have been handled?
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah.
Just a bit on the refugee story.
Yeah.
He's calling off on what? What is this veteran affairs?
Yeah. Mm.
For my understanding, veteran affairs is for the veteran, right?
So, but you could be a veteran, but you could be also in a status of refugees as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, now the friendship for me, the old veteran and the refugees.
It looks that way. Yeah, according, all the veterans are refugees.
Because those who were camp, yes, understand they were outside.
Yeah.
And they those who were fighting on the ground.
Mm. I asked the question when I was talking to Mimaina. I asked, does everyone who was in exile and the refugees? And she said, yes, yeah. So I think the whole idea here, I think so that it's not misunderstood, is that, you know, there were processes that need to be followed, like repatriation, and then there would be resettlement. And in resettlement and rehabilitation, there were other things that were needed to be done. There were money probably that were given to resettle and also to rehabilitate. So in that means that there were now things that were not done during resettlement and rehabilitation. Some people come from outside, from exile. When they come back, they have no parent. There are no parents, there are no families, and they are left by themselves, you know? So I think, and these are some of the people who feel that, no, we were not taken care of, you know?
I do understand.
Mm.
But now, what took them so long?
Exactly.
What if I check some of those who are there, they were working and they are now retired.
Mm.
They were government workers. Some of them were there. They were government workers.
Yeah.
And they retired. And what took them so long? Now that maybe they don't have money since they retired, that's when they'll come and claim them. Then it means even the veterans, those who were fighting also, they must even claim it.
How do you think this should be handled? Should it be something for example, they are camping at Swapo? Should it be something that just they should just ignore it until it like now it actually escalates in a way it does, or should it be handled? How should be handled?
I'm not saying they must it must be ignored, but it will take long. If I hear carefully, they say a message of like the UN, they don't have that report in their system.
Yeah.
The SWAPO, they know that refugees, but they don't have the full amount which was paid to them. The refugees to have it. It will take long. And I don't think, if they win, maybe I don't know, but I'm not having that hope for that. Because they were supposed to fight this just from the beginning when they saw that this money is not enough. That was where the battle was supposed to start.
I think that maybe this is where also they come in to say, we need transparency. This is the amount that we're given, and this is how the money was actually spent. Maybe that would satisfy them.
Then the organization is SWAPO. They must pay them.
Yeah.
Go swap was with them in the struggle in the outside the country.
Yeah, but we're also risking this kind of not let me that not we where this kind of situation can also risk creating so many other situation like this. Another group will come up say
exactly.
Yeah.
The kids who were denied the right of getting whatever was supposed to be for them. They are also coming.
Yeah.
The moment these people will get their money, obviously those were supposed to they will disturb the party.
Yeah.
Let me leave it to for others.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming through, Yeah, well, there is no easy solution. It's also a legitimate, legitimate demand. My take is that, you know, there were processes, and this is also done in other countries as well. So there are processes, a process of repatriation, resettlement and rehabilitation and resettlement, whichever comes first. Yeah. So, and within a resettlement, there are, components to say, this is how the refugees are going to be resettled. There are resources. These are the resources to be able to help to resettle the refugees. Same thing, rehabilitation. What does that mean? You know, depending now, some are coming from war-torn country or given a lot of circumstances that impact completely their life. So maybe counseling is part of this, psychosocial support is part of that. There are so many things that and their group feel that
you know, there are things that hasn't been done. There aren't promises. There are promises that were not fulfilled. So in that regard, I definitely see where they're coming from. Yeah. So, but this has, why it has taken so long. Why it has taken so long to this point. Eh?
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. Morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. What is your take?
That one is a complicated thing because being exile and leave the country as a refugee, there are totally different things. And because remember the recruiting process of liberation struggle were not wiping houses.
Yeah.
So when it's starting on 1974 there, they have to look at in the houses how many girls and boys are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there are two boys, so the boys they can go, but the girls cannot because they have to look after the elder people.
Hmm.
So when it comes now to the camp, most of these people were accounted in as they come to joining the forces.
Yeah.
So that was the process of now the liberation struggle. So the refugees, I don't know how now we counted those people that left in maybe in Zambia at the time Zambezi, Katima at the time to go to Zambia because of war zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one now. So when it came now to exile repatriation reason now.
Hmm.
So you are going back to your parents, back to where you are coming from. You are not, because refugees, you when you are left in your country as a refugees, maybe your houses have been burned down.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no way you can go. So the UN have to look at how they are going
to be resettled.
So those are now the things. So, yeah, coming back to exile, the repatriation. Yeah, in the camps, when they were started to register them, they have to look at, especially to the children, that they are lost their mothers.
Mm.
So there is some people that were looking for them at the time.
Yeah.
So they haven't they know, they have some history where those mothers were came from. So they have to indicate that this child is not mine, it might end up when I'm settling in the country to looking for their family of their mothers and all of that.
Yeah.
So those are now, I don't know whether there was in some lump sum to say we are giving you money to look after those kids and all of that. But if you look at the Kashinga one, they were, most of these children that is their, often they were being GDR at the time. They never coming on the tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of not knowing where are you going to take in those kids. So there was, I don't know whether there was a good white and black and white papers with the GDR at the time.
Yeah.
To keeping those kids because, if they are the one that is reaching 18 years, yeah, they have to come and register to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another issue. But coming back now to the camp in Namibia, so to take you out or to go out of the camp, there was in some stuff like my trash and the other stuff to go for the not to call it as a startup, no. It's just a moral support to say maybe you find your family vulnerable. Mm. Yeah, this is what you have to starting with. And after that, you have to come back and then, and the starting registered people back into now, what are they going to do to them now, whether they are starting to dissolving them to the government now.
Mm.
Yeah, that is how it was. So on the listen now to the UN, as you said, if there was money that is left in the parting from the process of repatriating and buying the food and all of those things, expenses,
yeah,
the money have to go back to UN. Yeah, that is now the budget now of the UN, how to repatriate.
How to repatriate, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So not to say this one it was in for refugees. Because our process was in the same with Eritrea. If you look at Eritrea, we're having a lot of people with them in Sweden. Yeah, those one, they were refugees. For Eritrea, they were refugees because they were not fighting like us. As we were in forces to chasing out this, we were using also forces for that. That's why I'm saying, if you go back to 1974, you will see that the recruitment was not like that.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that I really, it's only that we are not guiding by law, some of us in this country, to look at where are the government or where are the UN went wrong to taking care of us.
Exactly.
So yeah, those are now the things that in the law of Namibia, you have to indicate that you are violating this.
Yeah.
Whether but, it's a government.
Because what I'm looking at is serious. If there could be someone who have been a refugee who came back and there was no family at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and he was not taken care of, you know. Mm. And because of that, in the condition he found himself, it emanate from the that he has no opportunity, he has no family, he has no, all those kind of things. So it's justice.
But before you go that, Namibian war zone, that northern region, there was no much recorded of wiping families.
Yeah.
Whether you have people in exile, whether you have been...
Yeah. No, I don't think in a kind of massive numbers, but it could be that, I could have been born, or I could be born in Zambia and my father died, you know. And when I come back home, my mother, you know, also died or whatever, you know, my family.
No, those are the things that I indicated for you in Kashinga.
Yeah.
Because Kashinga often they went into DDR.
Yeah.
And some of those kids up to today, they don't want to come back to Namibia, whether they do to find out they are, because of the history that Kashinga circulating, some of these people, they don't want to traumatize to hear your family were coming from what and all of those things.
Hmm.
Yeah. Those ones, they are in another program, which I'm not sure whether the DDR at the time, Eastern Germany, were having a black and white agreement with the liberation struggle to say that these people, they were coming from the camp that was attacked, their parents. Remember, we lost a lot of people, about 800 women.
Yeah.
So it was something else. But for us now, as I said, the war zone and the strategy of our fight were not really fighting to destroying what we have in the country.
Yeah.
That was another issue. So for these people now to winning the case, they needing somebody to advise them really what was really going on. Where are you going to prove that when I came back, I don't have family? So those are now the things that is needed, both black and white, into to bridging up your case.
Yeah. But the other thing, Tate, is that, you know, looking at this, we haven't seen this done in Namibia where, look, these people have been exposed to harsh condition. Being in a refugee camp, you could have been raped, could have been, you know, there's so many, many things that could happen, you know. It's a war zone. It's a war zone for God's sake. So, but when they come back.
Your phone is breaking. I can't hear
you. Oh, you can't hear me anymore.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Nah.
It's funny, I'm asking, can you hear me? And you say, ah.
Okay, I'll give another.
All right. Let's hear from others, maybe. As it's a line, maybe gone bad now. Mm. Yeah. Mm. The funny thing is that you're asking, can you hear me? And said, ah. All right. So, yeah. There's a point to be made. So really, as I said, this is very complex. It's not one size fit all. It's something that need to be, it shouldn't be ignored. It's not something should be ignored. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Good.
Yeah. So can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yes, it's true. The refugees or those who were repatriated, they really need some kind of psychosocial support, economic or whatever the case might be, including those triple R. But now, is it the issue is? Was it there a promise of that nature, or maybe it's just because the UN has got the mandate to resettle, rehabilitate, and repatriate the people, which perhaps was not done in that sense? I do not know whether there was that promise, or perhaps we are just going to... Because that is the culture of UN.
Yeah, no. Basically, more like it's the culture. It's more like that's how it's normally done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it was supposed to be done in that way, and perhaps the UN has neglected their responsibility in that area, whether the promise was there or not, that yes, they are going to do that, and they have not done, perhaps it's the issue of negligence.
Yeah. No, the other thing, I'm only talking from what she said. It's not something that I personally know. She's saying, well, funds were given, and it's just that, you know, it wasn't properly managed also from the side of the party. So that's why they asking that we need to see what was given from the UN and how that's actually managed by the party as well. So that's also the issue.
It could be, but I do not know whether there was a promise. But other activities like repatriating them and all these other things, if they were done and there was some kind of packages that were not given, which was supposed to have been given, that one I do not know. All I know is that when we came in, we were just told to disarm.
Yeah.
We drop our guns during that time, and then we came.
Yeah.
So whether there was a promise or whatever, we know very well that in other countries, they did actually pay them.
They
did repatriate them. They did rehabilitate them.
Yeah.
Even that program was also, the program of rehabilitation was also within the veteran ministry. I know that Pastor Kapofi, is it Kapofi?
Chapaka Kapolo or what?
Kapolo. So they were actually doing those kind of programs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how effective they were.
Yeah.
And if that was the part of it, maybe it was not done fully.
Yeah. Mm.
But the promise of the money from the UN, that one I tried to have been asking our commanders and all these other things, but I've never heard about. So where I want to put more effort,
yeah,
it is on the issue of the money for the veterans.
Yeah.
The one that's supposed to come here, not from the UN.
Mm.
That is where I want maybe to be forcefully done.
Yeah.
Because we are still not even, we haven't got even our package for the veteran as yet.
Yeah.
The 200, now it has reduced to 170.
What?
That one must be really done.
Yeah.
Because we really need that money. Even our children.
Yeah, no,
who are born by veterans.
Yeah. No, the thing you have to look at that, this is someone probably haven't got a chance to go study. You have been just fighting. You don't have any qualification, or a person could have been injured. So, you have no possibility of getting a better, good job. So the government should be able to do that, you know? So.
Exactly. That is the part that we want it to be speed up.
Yeah.
So that we can also pay off our house, we can do things for our children.
That's a quick commercial, and then you can continue. Yeah.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai epetwa weza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu walirongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba una ovi unedia peke kwa rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe spoo kwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano Pamiyevi ya mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Nitororela ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba kekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
Alright, you can go on.
Mm. Yeah, no, what I was saying is that that particular aspect.
Yeah.
Must be implemented.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's taking so long to pay off those veterans' money.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
Last time when the honorable minister, who is this? The one of the deputy minister, is it the deputy minister of veteran affairs and defense and veteran affairs? Mobita.
Yeah. Charles Mobita. Yeah.
Charles Mobita.
Mm.
So when he came in there, you were saying people should be paid and the money has been budgeted for.
Mm.
Why can't you just pay off all of them?
Yeah.
Give them their money, let them pay off their houses. Many of us, when we got into the government, we have to restart from the scratch.
Mm.
Because we were competing, that's why a lot of combatants, they couldn't go in the military or police and things like that.
Yeah.
Because of the reconciliation, we have to integrate.
Yeah.
Even the former
Kufut.
Kufut and all these other things. And when are we going to benefit from this?
Yeah.
Can't they just pay off the veterans' money? Forget about the UN thing. If there is some kind of dispute and issues of ambiguity in terms of plurality.
This is just a matter of justice. Seriously, for me, this is a matter of justice. From the government when it comes to veteran now, yeah. So, and as I said, this is someone or you have people who are in a position where they in the position where they may not even be able to get a job anymore. They have a family that they cannot be able to support, because maybe the condition they are in, and there are so many things. And some of the thing is that some people may not be well, a part of the war, you know, being part of the war, the person may not be really well enough to, mentally and psychologically to do anything. So I think that need to be taken seriously. And the government had to look at this seriously. It taken too long, to do that.
So much, yeah. As you said. And even, I remember very well, I'm concluding now.
Yeah.
Even when we were, those years, I remember when we were to do our master's degrees, and we were also to be paid by the veterans. But our application were just dumped into the dustbin. Yeah. And the people who were actually not even at the battlefront, they were assisted. My children could not also benefit from those things. They were to get the things even before they brought them this NASFA. Okay. So those are the money that we should be focusing on and demanding, so that they can be paid, because the budget is made available.
Yeah.
Like I said, Tate Mobita was saying, yes, everybody will get, because people have got their own individual needs.
Yeah.
Mm. Why do you have to line them up? Because our needs are different.
Mm.
But if they could put more focus or energy on that, maybe with the UN, which I do not know also, but focus on this one, the veteran payout. That one, I think it should be a way to have a dialogue seriously and make sure that those people who are, a lot of them have retired. Even when we got into employment, 5, 6, 7 years, the person is already retired. How do you expect that person to have accumulated some cash or maybe the pension to pay off their property?
I mean, when they come back, there's so many. I mean, we're not even going to go into that. They it just, as I said, for me, it's a matter of justice, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think the legal personnel who know about those things can also now submit some kind of a case.
Yeah.
And so that we can see.
Yeah, actually, it should be a representative from justice, from legal point of view, because that was something that was promised. I think one can have legal reasons why to actually force the government to do it as soon as possible. Seriously.
As for me, I'm definitely going to launch a case.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to use my money for pension while there's money lying down there. So that one, I think it might go as an individual basis, but as collectively, we can as well combine our efforts, our energy and knowledge to make sure that that route is explored.
Yeah. All right, man.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah? 081-0833-66091. 083-66091. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Fine.
Hmm.
You see, Uncle Bwana is right.
Yeah.
Okay. But sometimes we must also look at the fight which we are fighting.
Yeah.
Do we have all the equipment for us to win the battle or the fight? You see, look, at that, they are saying that the letter which was sent in 2006 got lost.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you see, sometimes people, we like delaying things. Now, that issue is supposed to be solved in 2006 already when the letter was there.
Mm.
They should have said, no, what does the letter say? What is in the letter? Now, just count 2006 up to date.
The other thing, it was the letter written with hands that it was not saved anywhere.
That is the thing. And how many people have been in that office who are no more?
Mm.
You see? Maybe someone checked that, no, these people will benefit, take the letter, throw it somewhere somehow.
Yeah. We're talking about 2006. We're not talking about 1880 something. Yeah.
Now, today's it's 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years ago. Now, what they could have done, those who knew, those who were privy about the letter, they could have said, give us a copy.
Hmm.
Yeah, or they could have just accepted, just write it.
Yeah.
And this veteran affairs, or war veteran issues and so forth, to payment, look, sometimes, seriously, if that money could have been utilized to those who never got something,
hmm.
who could not go for study, they were just in the bush fighting for war, or those who were in the camps cooking for the soldiers, or whatever, those who went maybe to school, but they could not make it.
Yeah.
But now you will find an executive director, a minister, is it? Eh? A lecturer, also benefiting from that. That is greediness. And
exactly, yeah. You know, my contention with this. First of all, I was actually saying there shouldn't be even a ministry. It should be just a directorate. Because the ministry has taken up now. If, say, for example, there's a budget of 15 million, okay? Just for argument's sake, of 15 million. Do you know how much money actually will go into paying, you know, the staff that goes actually in wage bill? The money that goes now to the real people who should be benefiting, it's minimal, you know? So if you have a directorate, you know, it's just dealing directly with the veteran. And the money would go directly to the veteran rather than actually now paying people that are in the administrative blocks, you know?
Look, you see, our leader, okay, I don't want to sound otherwise. The problem of our leader, they are like everyone want to do what he wants. Mm. Once he's gone, he leave it halfway, and then the other one will take another route.
Yeah.
You see? Now, if they could have been a relay leadership to say, okay, or let us sit, let us draw a plan. What's the way forward? Remember, the War Veteran Act was not done in 1991 or 1990, right after the independence. Mm. Not at all. You see? Those years, they're supposed to plan. Oh, let us inject maybe, let me say, 500 million.
Yeah.
What do we do with this money? There were this willing buyer, willing seller, this, what is this farm's, resettlement farm?
Mm.
Identify a farm which is productive.
Yeah.
Invest that money there. They could have this way, NYC is at Rietfontein. They could have said, let us hold it like that, you see? It will produce juice and milk. And then this money which you are generating from here, we employ others who could not get employment, those who are in exile, and the rest we will pay for those who cannot be able, who are in like disability, who cannot cater for themselves.
Hmm.
Yeah, then you know that exactly that, okay, that's once off and is self-sustainability. That's what, now you create a whole ministry.
Yeah.
Starting from the minister himself, deputy, directors, and whatever. Yeah. You see, that budget, as you are saying, the money is there. And people should also stand up. They must also smell the coffee and say, no, this is not right. Abolish that minister. Create something else.
Yeah. Have a directorate. That's all what you need. You need less than 10 people actually dealing with that. Why do you want to have a ministry for?
Why can't you put it back? You see, this social grant.
Eh?
And disability grant.
Yeah. So
why can't you just add them there also?
Themselves, the veteran can come up with their own programs that they can be run. You only need an office a national office that actually, you know, coordinate this work and things like that and the fund. So why do you have now hundreds of people actually who are not veteran actually living on the budget of the veterans?
Imagine, you see, and even this portion of 200,000 and so forth. Seriously, did all of them benefit that? If they could have said, look, fine, we can pay off some or whatever, but let us also create projects. There is Berg Aukas, just near Grootfontein. There is Rietfontein. Eh? You can mention them. There are a lot of factories or what organization or whatever which went down straight. There is Vungu Vungu in Kavango region. Eh? They're supposed to come up with a plan and say, let us create a project which will cater for... Because remember, this is a continuity. It's not once-off issue.
Exactly, yeah.
The grandchildren will also want to benefit from that.
Mm.
They might come back and say, no, if my grandfather could have been not in exile, I could not have been like this.
Yeah.
That will be the argument on the table.
You will always have this group popping up now and then, imagine, you know.
Imagine 36 years, we still have children of liberation struggle. Children, they are not grown, they are still there. You see? Yeah. We have now these refugees, then we have war veterans. Mm. You will see something will come up now, because you failed. Because why says you, why are you giving that to those people? Mm. Not us. Even this issue is supposed to be solved very easy. How many are they, actually?
Exactly. How many are they, like, they taking up?
How many are they? And when people were repatriated from Angola to here, where are those, let me say, the list of their names?
Yeah.
Then at least you can argue based on that one. You see, nowadays, I can also go there and tell you that, no, I was there. What will you do? If, you see, I can say, no, you drafted this one. It's just AI. You see, okay, if you know that you can keep the records, where is that letter for 2006?
Yeah. No, the thing is that we...
that letter got lost. Why not my name? My name can also get lost.
Yeah, the thing is that we know people, you know, who are actually dying in dire poverty, you know, while the people that are ministers and other things are also still getting this kind of money, as you said earlier on, you know.
Yes, I know people from my village who were detained. You see, it's not for them to go to Robben Island. No, it's not the case. But you will see someone, I'm telling you, who was just, what if?
Yeah.
The parents, those people are benefiting. I'm telling you straight. And those are frustrating people. We have fishing quotas. Why just allocate that? What the fish was, the fish quota?
Exactly.
Are they supposed to direct it to the say, okay, this is for the war veterans, and it can cater for this, whatever they call themselves. Finish and clear. You cannot create the whole minister. That is someone want to benefit from it.
Exactly.
They will come and say employment creation. How can you, how can I say, plant, a big tree in a jug. Those are meant for flowers, or these small flowers. You cannot just say, okay, I am planting this today. No. The thing what they did is wrong. And they can just admit
that's
to that. And
that's an ad quickly coming up.
Okay.
Okay, can we just hold on?
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February, 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right.
Okay, let me wrap up. Yes, yeah. The question is, was the money paid into SWAPO, paid to SWAPO or to the Namibian government? That is the question. If it was paid to SWAPO, I don't know.
Like it has been paid to SWAPO. Yeah,
that's what I see. What you see, if it was been paid to SWAPO, then okay, that is something which they can also discuss within the party.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, secondly, you see, I heard also that there were also this SWATI for the former soldier of South Africa, the South African soldier. They were also demanding money apparently, which was paid into the Namibian government.
I have even a discussion with somebody last year.
Those are the things, you see, it will bring confusion because just, look, sometimes we must be careful here.
Yeah.
If it was paid, who was, look, let us ask now, if it was paid to SWAPO, who was the SG of SWAPO by then in 2006?
Yeah.
If that person is still alive or the deputy or whatever, the leadership of SWAPO there, the top four, who are they? Now call them and ask them.
Yeah.
Simple.
So normally, sometimes you don't even need to ask the general secretary. You ask the office because the office should have actually record. Yes. You know, no matter who comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I mean is, in Africa, we want to see who was there, who was present, who received that letter.
Yeah.
If they can go back and say, in 2006, this month, who was there, then you can see that, okay, by then the SG or whoever was ABCD.
Yeah.
Call that person, they're supposed to call that person to that meeting as well.
Exactly.
Either to confirm or deny whether they received the letter. Where did it come from? Even at the UN, who was there responsible for this in 2006? Not these current ones, because they will tell you that, no, we don't know, the case closed. You see? Now, bring those ones, because even if they are dead, it's fine, there was just someone close to them.
Mm.
At least let us just trace that one if it's true, because otherwise it will remain allegations, and the other one, you are weighed against my word. But really, what I am saying, that our leaders should focus and look at these issues of, tomorrow we'll see that unemployment association of Namibia.
And these are things that actually create conflict, you know, within the society, seriously.
Yeah, imagine after 36 years, then you claim refugee, whatever payout.
Mm. Seriously.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That time, 1991, 92, 93, they could have been paid, or they could have come up with a memorandum to say that, look, each and every month you will get this money.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you know that.
And ignoring it won't solve the problem.
I don't care attitude because I'm seated in the office. We are not wishing for war, but you see, sometimes it's not good to mistreat people who sweat and who lost their life, their whatever, some of them became totally disabled, and you are enjoying what they, how can I say, suffered for, just like that. And you include them and say, okay, like, I don't want to use another word. It's like eating meat when you throw the bones.
Yeah.
Because you know that you will not go and pick it up again. But seriously, let our government look into this.
Great, man.
Or the Swapo Party leadership.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for coming through.
Yeah.
Mm. Our time is about 49 minutes past the hour of 9. You're most welcome. You can come through as well. So, yeah. 0833-66091. And we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mike, this line is not fine.
I think it's yours, man, because I'm
Maybe in my... Yeah, it was... Yeah. I just want you.
But we hear you. We hear you well. Okay, just go on. Just make your point. Mm.
Please make it. The veteran affairs and the demanding of repatriation is totally different thing. Please, understanding that.
Yeah.
So the veteran affairs is benefited the people who have fought in favor of the freedom. You understand?
Mm.
Whether you are in the country or you are outside, whether as long as we are mobilizing that, and we market as in some of the tools.
Yeah.
You understand? So that's why it's including. It does. It have nothing to do that you are in exile.
I think just people actually now connecting. This is just a side topic that people actually.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Veteran is. It can be there. It can stop soon. Because we know how who to recognize it and who to putting on the system. So those are the other stuff.
Yeah.
Here we are talking about the repatriation process that was done by UN. Those are the people that wanting to know how much money the budget was and who has been paid. As they said, it was paid on Swapo, but the UN, the United Nations High Commission for Refugee, when they were bringing people in Namibia, they were not bringing people of Swapo.
Yeah.
They were bringing people that were on exile. You understand? So I that's why I'm saying to building up a case and say that Swapo is the one who was handling the repatriation process. I don't understand that. Because there was another company, those who were contracted to do those registration and all of that. So those are the people that were paid. The invoices, maybe they can ask the invoices of those, that where are the invoices that you said the money, the budget was this? Was it finished or the money that was left, where it went? As the women that he member for her commission representative who is, was the,
But the other thing is then, if there were money, let's say, for example, if there were fund, repatriation done by the UN, and if there were funds now for rehabilitation and resettlement, who would have received it? Would it be the government? Yeah.
Listen, that's why I'm saying there is no resettlement in the program of the exile, repatriation.
Yeah.
If you read on that article in the UN, there is no such, because these people, they were not all of them. As I said, if you go back into the process of recruitment, people were not taking all of them. They were choosing that this one, it have to go because you are look after the children, the elders.
Mm.
You understand? Yeah? So that is the process of swap recruitment. You understand? It's not to say let us all of us go. Yeah? If you are 60 years old, we cannot go with you. Yeah? You understand? Because you are not going to do anything there. So that was the process of the exile.
Mm.
People should be understanding the process of exile. Not everybody. Everybody wanted to go, but you cannot go because you are not going to do anything. So yeah. That's why we end up with some people who are having complication diseases or something to say, oh, this one, you join a test, but now we have to take care of this and that.
Mm.
So that is what we are talking about today. The money that was used on the 89 repatriation. You understand?
Yeah.
That's where they are calling them, that they are a refugee.
Yeah.
And which I'm now saying, this is not a process of refugee. If you comparing and look at the process of Eritrea, because there were, the UN that was here is the UN that was also in Eritrea. If you look at the Eritrea, there they are calling it a refugee.
Yeah.
But this one they are calling it exile.
Exile, yeah. Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
That is totally different because it's young people that left the country to go joining the fight.
But what they call themselves then, it's a former Namibian refugees, a liberation,
yeah,
liberation
that is
struggle.
What, that is what, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Under the article which is on the UN, they might end up failing to lose the case.
Yeah, yeah.
That is what I'm saying. That's why I'm wanted to people that can advising, not to people that can start talking about veterans. Veteran and the benefit of the, because when the people starting registered in on Dangwa Airport, they were registered now to interim government. Understand? Mm. To
right.
See how many people are fit to get jobs. You understand? Not all of them that are coming from exile can get jobs.
All right, man. We still have just a few minutes left. Yeah. Mm.
Okay,
great. Yeah. All right. That's we exhausted that enough. Let's probably pick up that again tomorrow. So, all right. We had so many things that we, but we're only having now 5 minutes left to. So let's look at quickly. Just want to round up the quick digest, just a quick digest on our industrial brief that is on today's edition of the Villagers. So the first up is we're looking at the $1 billion opportunity in our soil. That is, we often hear about the mining sector, but according to the agronomic board of Namibia, there is a hidden gold mine sitting right in our farms and gardens. So they say the domestic fruits and vegetable market is currently worth $2.3 billion annually. And they believe that there is a potential to grow that into a massive $6 billion market. So that is a lot of money, my dear very people. So, however, to get there, we have to be honest about the challenges. So the board says that for this sector actually to explode, we need a serious handshake between, you know, the government and the private sector. Why? Because our farmers are facing actually a steep war. So think about it in terms of the cost of electricity, the seed and the fertilizer. Those are higher. All these are higher. Our logistic and processing infrastructure need a serious upgrade also. So farmers need affordable finance to get started. And we need to ensure that our produce meet also the international standard
to compete globally. So if we can break down these barriers, if we can break down these barriers, the 6 billion isn't just a dream. So it is a reality waiting to happen. So that's another brief in today's industrial brief. It's actually turning the tide on water woes or water, you know, problems. Now, let's move now from, we are moving now from the field now to the tap. All right. If you live in the rural Namibia, you know the struggle of water quality is real. The struggle of water quality is very real. But there is some good news coming out of the Environmental Investment Fund. They have just completed a 4-year program to soften and treat water from boreholes across the several regions. This is not just a quick fix. It's not just something that it's a quick fix. It's about a long-term sustainability. So they have targeted 17 borehole sites. Phase one covered the Karas, you know, Kunene, Ohangwena, Kavango, East Kavango, Kavango West, and Zambezi regions. You know, phase two focused on 4 sites in the Oshikoto region, which Oshikoto region has been hit particularly hard by water quality issues. So, and here is the smart part. The smart part is that they have installed solarized pumping system. This means lower operational cost and also more reliable water access. So it is not just about now the infrastructure also. They train 69 water point committee members to maintain these reverse osmosis system and ensuring the community can manage their own water. So, yeah, plus during construction, they created 127 temporary jobs. So this project is delivering water, is delivering skills, and also delivering income. So that's a win-win. So, and lastly, and finally, the rising cost of farming. We have to end with a reality check because farming isn't getting any cheaper. So the Namibian Agricultural Union's latest review shows that agri-inflation jumped by 3.67% over the last year. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means the cost of putting food on your plate is actually creeping up. So the biggest culprit is the animal health expenses. That shot up by nearly 27%, driven now by the higher cost of veterinary product and disease control. So basically, keeping livestock healthy is costing farmers a fortune. Other costs are also that are also biting. Maintenance is up. Feed and animals and minerals are up. Labor is up. Electricity is up. You know, so, but beside that, there were also a few bright spots. Fuel prices dropped slightly and investment in equipment decreased also. But the overall trend is clear. The cost of production is rising. So for the average farmers, for the average farmer, margins are tight. Margins are tight. And that pressure eventually filters. That pressure to the farmers eventually filter down to prices in your pocket and in your shop. Well, that's the brief. That's our industrial brief that you can find in our news, in our edition of the Villages this morning. That was just a quick digest on those aspects. Well, our time is 2 minutes past the hour of 10. Bring us, Mr. Nalvanda is already looking to me with eyes, you know, red. Kucho, wafato pitirile fimbo lange man. You know, that Nalvanda, mesho atiri anano koshik.
Onyote fimbo tali, man. So,
Ewa, that Narubando Tekutera wu kufeko programa, amen and the Moro Kaula, Fio Mongula Variva Pugini. So let me say my goodbyes and hand over to Tate Naluvanda coming up with Kusa Mosha. So from me, Mike, let's do this tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. Bye from now.